Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
Welcome in, JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. No Fred Taylor tonight. He'll be back with us next week. The Jaguars fall in Week 9, 19-14, the final to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 6-2 and currently in a three-way tie for first place in the AFC West. So that will be broken tonight as the other two teams in that division have a game this evening. The Jags fall to 2-6. They're in last place in the AFC South. Plenty of thoughts about this one. Overall, the offense had some moments today. The running game was there. They had some other moments they'd like to forget. Some dropped balls, some missed opportunities, the third and one situations they'd love to have back a few different times. The defense kept the Jaguars in this game after four turnovers and all those short fields. The Jags defense forced a number of field goals today when it could have been, in theory, 35-7. It ended up being a game the Jaguars were in and had the ball in the final drive to possibly take the lead. So a lot of ways to look at this game today. I'm going to go positive on this one because the defense hung around and did what they had to do on a short field today.
I'm not. I mean, look, the bottom line is they lost the game. And they lost the game because of that one stat, four turnovers. Four turnovers to none, yep. And they lost it by 5 points, JP. I mean, they killed themselves today. I know – a lot of Jaguar fans probably not happy with that call with Chris Ivory at the goal line. I think that's one that we've been discussing it here in the studio. That's going to go with whatever was called on the field. There was not indisputable evidence, but we'll see what Gus thinks.
Yeah, Gus Bradley with Jeff Loggeman right now in Kansas City. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Gus, certainly a hard-fought game, but anytime you end up -4 in turnover differential, it's tough to win a football game, isn't it?
It is. That's in the NFL, across the board. If you have four turnovers, awful difficult to win.
The last one there, Chris Ivory, if you would think he crossed the goal line, the plane of the goal line, but certainly no camera angle to disprove it.
Looked like there was, but got to go with their call.
Leads your football team now at 2-6. What do you do from here?
Well, a lot of things. You know, third down, that's what you look at. They're 1-14, 8%. We rushed for 205 yards. Penalties were down to 5. But we didn't come here to collect positives. We came here to win the game. And that's what's disheartening. When you have four turnovers like that, like you said earlier, Logs, it's tough to get that. And, sometimes these lessons like this is a hard, hard-ass lesson. It's a great place to play, hard environment to play. And we came here with that intent, and we didn't come out of here. So that part's disappointing.
Your offense, you made a change at offensive coordinator this week, and you guys were able to move the football very effectively today, but points just didn't come.
Yeah, we missed some opportunities. I think you saw that, and we all take responsibility for that. Had some drops, had some missed throws, fumbles. All those things give us opportunity to put points on the board, and we didn't capture all of them. And in a close game like this, those come back to haunt you.
All right, any word on Allen Hurns?
No, I haven't heard anything yet.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Thank you.
There's Gus Bradley in the locker room after, hey, didn't come to collect lessons, came to win.
That's a hard-ass lesson to learn. Yep. Gus is ticked, and I think it goes back particularly to the play at the goal line, because you could see he was as irate as I can recall seeing him on a Jaguar sideline when they did not get that call. It's an automatic review on the turnover and its scoring play, so that got a look. And he clearly felt when you saw Ivory's hand emerge, and it looked like he was holding the ball, but as soon as they let it go to real time, the ball is flying out. You don't know if he's reaching for the ball, JP, or if he is extending the ball. I think it's a tough position for the ref to not go with the call on the field there. But clearly, again, Gus echoed it. It comes down to four turnovers. All those things, 205 yards on the ground today. Who thought a Jaguar team could run against Kansas City the way they did today?
Right. Dean Blandino, the league VP of officiating, has tweeted out that he'll do a video about that play later today. So maybe we'll see it online somewhere as the hours go by.
It won't make anybody feel any better.
Just to see their thinking behind
absolutely.
It. So apparently they seem pretty confident that they got the call. Correct. We'll come back. Jeff Loggeman inside the locker room. Jags fall in Kansas City 19-14. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express. Take it to the bank next Sunday when the Jags host the Houston Texans Jags fall in week 9, 19-14 the final. The Chiefs over the Jaguars in the locker room at Arrowhead Stadium. Jeff Lagerman has Telvin Smith. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Telvin, hard-fought game, excellent performance by the defense, and certainly disappointing, though, that you didn't get the victory.
Most definitely. And that's the message Gus gave to us, that, you know, we did, you know, do some great things in the game, but at the same time, we come for wins. We didn't come for more victories.
Me and you were just looking at the drive chart. The amount of times that the Chiefs had the ball in plus territory with the four giveaways by special teams and offense, and for you guys to end up holding them to 19 points, it's not a victory, but that's a heck of a performance by the defense.
It definitely is. And that was our emphasis. You know, these last couple of weeks, we kind of got away from what we do as a team, but especially as a defense. And this week, we just got back to our fundamentals. Let's run and hit, and let's play with some enthusiasm.
And how important was it to get back to, let's not worry about what the offense is doing. We have to play defense, and that's all we can control.
Well, you see how important it was, you know what I mean? For us to play in the type of game that we played and to keep growing as a defense, that's the mentality that we have to take on, you know what I mean? So we just got to keep going and keep taking that on and take it to the next level. Now we got to get takeaways because, you know, they had four, we ain't have none, so we got to turn that around.
How do you encourage your offense to help them come along?
We just got to keep doing what we're doing, you know what I mean? I think the more times you get them the ball, put them in those situations, and the better we're going to get, you know? But right now all I say is, the sky's the limit, you know what I mean? Well, I can't even say that because it's space. So I say we just got to keep going and keep growing as a team.
Is it easy to continue to grow at 2-6? Do you just put that out of your mind and you just play ball?
It's a lot of football left. What we got, that was 9, so we got 8 games left. So we can go out and finish this thing 10-6. You know what I mean? That's my mindset, to finish 10-6. So that's what we're going to prepare to do, and that's our goal.
All right. Thank you, Telvin.
Yep, no problem.
Telvin Smith inside the Jaguars locker room. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars postgame rolls along. To Telvin's point and Jeff's point there, I mean, the short field today, the touchdown drive was a 23-yard line, was where that drive started. There was a 5-yard drive, a 25-yard drive.
Another 5-yard
drive. 5-yard drive for the other field goals. I mean, and that's short field after short field, and coming up with just 3 instead of 7, that kept this game at least tight.
I would like Telvin Smith said, for the defense to create a lot of turnovers. However, I find it hard to fault the defense for much of anything today, other than, you know, an occasional play here or there. Tashaun Gibson ran into Prince Amukamara. He's trying to make a play, gets his head around late, and doesn't allow the interception to happen. But, I mean, look, JP, they got put in bad position after bad position over and over and over again. What was it, 1 out of 14 on third down?
1 of 14.
1 of 14 on third down.
By far the best day they've had all year.
One of the best days in the National Football League, yes, of any team this year. Are you kidding? I mean, so the defense gave them time after time, opportunity after opportunity. You can talk all about Kansas City being shorthanded on offense. So what? I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
They played with who they had. The defense did a great job stopping them, not even slowing them down. I think they stopped them today. And, you know, short fields resulting in field goals. What defense gives up 5 yards on a drive? What are you supposed to do?
What else do you want to ask them?
That ain't nothing, right? I mean, so I don't know what else to say here. I guess the one big play they gave up was the catch and run by Charkandrick West on the 3rd and 34, which allowed Kansas City to get a field goal there. Yeah. Because then
it was after the Kelsey ejection.
Kelsey had 30 yards worth of penalties. They gave a big chunk of that right back, and they were able to get the field goal instead of punting it away to the Jags. And maybe you play it a little bit differently at the end. You still aren't needing to go for it. Actually, you probably could have tried the field goal there instead of going for it on fourth down towards the end. But, you know, you can point to a lot of things. Jason Myers missed the field goal. He had plenty of distance, but he pushed it wide right.
54-yard field
it
goal.
But, look, he's got the leg.
I'm
we
with
know
you.
He's got the leg, so kick it, you know, kick it between the upright. He started it right. It stayed right. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's a chip shot or anything easy, but when you're a team that's struggling to find wins, these are the plays that separate you from the good teams. And again, the 4 turnovers, paramount. You circle that in red marker, yep, and that's the big thing.
Let's go through these 4 turnovers. We're hoping to get back to Arrowhead Stadium at some point. Jeff Lagerman still inside the Jags locker room. The fumbled punt by Brian Walters. Can't have
terrible
that.
Terrible. He's supposed to be your sure-handed guy. I mean,
yes,
he was sure-handed catching it, but,
you know. Then again, he is the backup punt returner because Rashad Green was inactive today again, so he would probably be out there if he was active. Rashad Green has been your guy.
Right,
so,
and we saw Marquise Lee last week, and he muffed one.
That's right.
So now it's Walters, so who do you go to? Back to Green next week.
The Bortles interception, Ramique Wilson.
Terrible throw. That was just a bad throw. I mean, I don't know if you ever saw him on that one. He had the other one down near the goal line where he hit the defender right in the chest. He's lucky he got away with that, but – okay, so you got those two.
Yeldon's fumble where it looked like he took like an uppercut shot to the jaw and knocked him out.
He got cold cocked on that. And, it's not an excuse, but that one's the more understandable, I think, so far out of the three.
Right. And then the fumble at the goal line, Ivory, was it, was it not? It was called that it was, and no evidence to overturn, they say.
No, and, still plenty of time to overcome that. It's – you shouldn't have to overcome it. You're feeling if you feel like you broke the plane. I don't know. Again, that's one of those. If it was called a touchdown on the field, they would have reviewed that, and they would have kept it a touchdown.
Let's go back to Kansas City. A.J. Cann is with Jeff Lagerman in the line.
Thank you, JP. A.J., changing offensive coordinators this week, and you guys were able to move the ball effectively up and down the field, but no points, and the turnovers offensively hurt.
Yeah, you can't come into an environment like this and expect to win a game when you turn the ball over and win a game. You can't do that.
Your defense, gave you guys an opportunity down the stretch. What can you say about that performance that they had?
They had an outstanding game. I think I heard Kurt say it was like Kansas City's offense was like 1-for-13 on third downs. And we had opportunity to win it at the end, but we just couldn't convert on that fourth down.
For you guys offensively, a lot of week of change. Do you feel good about where you're going? I mean, this is the first game you guys have been able to put drives where you're moving the ball effectively.
Yes. I feel really good. And coaches came to us after the game and said, we're going to do some good things because, I like where we're going. Like you said, we're able to move the ball. And if we continue to do that and without the turnovers, we'll be a really good offense and a good team.
All right. Thank you, A.J.
Yes, sir.
A.J. Cann inside the Jaguars locker room at Arrowhead Stadium. We'll take our time out. We'll come back with the lightning fast questions for Mike Dempsey.
Yes,
this
sir.
Week. Final score in Kansas City, Chiefs 19, Jaguars 14. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. X1 from Xfinity will change the way you experience sports. With the X1 Sports app, you can track stats and scores on your TV while watching another game live. Xfinity, the future of awesome. Final score in Kansas City, the Chiefs 19, the Jaguars 14. JP Shadrick with Mike Dempsey from the HananiahAutos.com studio. It is time now for the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast Question to the Great Game for Mike Dempsey.
Yes, sir.
Fred Taylor's out tonight, brought to you by Xfinity, your home for the most live sports. Number one, beyond the turnovers, is this offense fixed?
For one day, the running game was fixed. Let's see if they can continue. I don't think you could say it's fixed until we see if this was a one-game aberration or it becomes a trend. Bortles played better today. The passing game was better. Certainly wasn't fixed, though, today. Too many mistakes still in the passing game.
This defensive performance, question number two, how does this rank among their performances this season?
Tops by far. I had to look up the numbers against Chicago, who they held to 16 points. 389 total yardage for Chicago. 231 today for Kansas City. They dominated. The defense of the Jags dominated the Chiefs. By far their best performance of the season.
A lot of short fields, though. That might have skewed some of the yardage.
It may have, but they were forcing three and outs and giving up field goal attempts.
Third and finally, 2-6 record for the Jaguars. What now moving forward?
Like Telvin Smith said, 10-6. Yeah, I mean, that's got to be your mentality. You got to look at this one and say, all right, we played better in a lot of areas, but you got to let that disgust of losing a game that you really feel like you should have won. I think, JP, watching this game, this one is one that bothers me more than the first, all the losses at the beginning of the season. You were close with Green Bay. Oh, that hurt. You let it get away. You got dominated by San Diego. That hurt in a different way. You feel like you gave it away against Baltimore. Today, you look at the numbers, and again, we're going to be circling 4-0 on the turnover margin and pointing to that for a long, long time. This one really, really bugs me.
There you have it. Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers for Mike Dempsey
I'm curious how Jag fans will react to this one, because certainly they played so much better, but the result is what the result is. They played better in statistically. You know, stats are stats. They are what they are. The final stat is the scoreboard, and that's what matters in the National Football League.
The performance, though, just looked overall cleaner, well, besides the turnovers, cleaner than last Thursday night, much cleaner than last Thursday night.
The running game was really, really good. It wasn't just okay. It wasn't good by Jaguar standards. Oh. It was really good today.
Yes.
And I'm a little mystified still, and maybe it will find out here as we get a chance to talk to the coaching staff a little bit more when they get back here. But you're in third and one at the goal line, or it wasn't third down. I think it was second and one at the goal line. You're in third and one in the middle of the field on that final drive when you had to go for it on fourth down. Why is Chris Ivory not the guy getting the football in that circumstance? And I get it. He fumbled, or did he? Gus didn't think he fumbled.
That's right.
So I don't think Gus was holding that against him.
Maybe, and they had him out before that fumble, too. And that was that first instance you're talking about when they ended up scoring the touchdown.
Correct.
Anyway.
Right. They scored the touchdown at the end of the half, so it didn't come back to hurt them. But you're thinking, this is a guy we saw on that 42-yard run. He's ready to lower the shoulder and bowl some people over today. And that's how he was running, with that reckless abandon that we thought Chris Ivory was going to bring. And so that, to me, is the one mystery about the running game. But overall, man, over 200 yards on the ground. And I know Blake did a little bit of that damage, but it wasn't like he carried the running game as he has often this season.
Ivory 107 today on the ground. Bortles had 54 yards rushing.
107, how many carries for Chris?
18.
18 carries, so a very efficient day.
A 42-yarder in there, too, like you said.
Right, but that's how you – where you're going to average over 5 yards a carry, you're probably going to pop a run here or there.
We'll come back. Bud Light play of the game. We've got the EverBank final stat check as well. Final score 19-14. Chiefs over the Jaguars. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Beards Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center in Jacksonville, where exceptional is affordable. Final score at Arrowhead Stadium, Kansas City. The Chiefs beat the Jags 19-14. Chiefs now 6-2. The Jags fall to 2-6. J.P. Shadrick will get back with Mike Dempsey in just a moment. It's time now to listen to the highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. We start off in the first quarter with a Jaguars turnover. The Jags had forced a couple of punts from Kansas City. The second of those returned by Brian Walters, but not far.
Oakwood punts away again. Punts away from just outside his 20. Brian Walters is going to retreat on this one. He'll field it at the 15-yard line. Try to run to the right. Now to the middle of the field. Out past the 20. Ball's on the ground. The ball is fumbled. I think Kansas City has it. Brian Walters fumbled the return, and Kansas City has recovered it inside the 25-yard line of Jacksonville.
It was at the 23-yard line. In fact, two plays later, Foles to Albert Wilson for the score.
Shotgun, three right, one left for Foles. Play fake, looking, throws it deep to the middle of the field. Got a receiver out there. That is going to be caught for the touchdown. Albert Wilson right down the middle of the field made the catch from 23 yards away, and Kansas City has struck first.
7-0 Chiefs at that point. The Jags had a turnover on downs. Kansas City punted. Jags back on offense. But Blake Bortles intercepted in the second quarter.
Ivory the running back. Bortles under center. Two right. Slot left. Play fake. Bortles dropped. Looking deep down the field. Still looking. Fires to the middle. But it's going to be intercepted. That ball is picked off by the Chiefs to the 25-yard line. He's going to try and reverse his field now. Nowhere to go. Now inside the 30 still. And he's going to be wrestled to the ground. Now a flag comes in at the end of it. Allen Robinson made the tackle, but an interception deep in Jaguars territory.
The Jags defense held, though, a 5-yard drive. Santos hit a 26-yard field goal for the Chiefs, 10-0. A couple of drives later, the Jaguars got something going. 11 plays, 88 yards, capped off by the Bud Light play of the game. Bortles to Allen Robinson right before halftime.
Third and goal now from the 1-yard line. 7 seconds to play in the half. You trail by 10. Need to get it in here. Two left, one right. Ivory the running back, shotgun for Bortles. Dropping the throw is Blake. Looking, still looking. Fires to the back of the end zone. Did he get it in there? Caught for the touchdown by Allen Robinson. He tapped his toe in the back of the end zone, and the Jags are on the board.
1-yard touchdown. The Jags got on the board before the half. 10-7, that's the Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. Second half, the Jags defense forced a 3-and-out. The Jags offense, though, T.J. Yeldon on the carry. loses control.
Third and 17 now from the 19-yard line. Inside handoff to Yeldon, to the 20, to the 25. Out past the 30-yard line, still on his feet. Got it past the 35-yard line. He's going to be very close. The ball's out. He's very close to a first down, but the ball popped out at the end of the run. Let's see who got on top of this thing.
Well, the Chiefs are signaling their ball, and it is.
It is the Chiefs' ball. He was close to a first down, and at the end of the run, the ball popped out.
He took a heck of a lick to knock the ball loose. The Jags defense holds, though, forces a 51-yard field goal, 13-7. The Jags couldn't do anything. They punted away. Another Santos field goal after a long return, 24-yard field goal there, 16-7. Myers missed a 54-yard field goal for the Jags. Santos hits another field goal on a short field. Kelsey was ejected. They got a screen play to get back into field goal territory, 19-7 Kansas City. But then the Jaguars drove again. Five plays, 74 yards. They're set up at the one-yard line. This really was the story of the game for the Jags.
From about the one-and-a-half-yard line, they've marked it at the one-and-a-half. Heavy formation in there. Alo Alo, the fullback. Ivory, the tailback. Three tight ends in front of them. Under center is Bortles. Blake gives it to Ivory. Lowers his shoulder to the goal line.
He fumbled it.
The ball is out. The ball came out near the goal line. No signal. I thought he might have been in.
They ruled it a fumble. They reviewed it. They upheld the ruling and the touchback. So Kansas City got the ball. They were forced to go three and out. The Jags go down the field, though, quickly. 61 yards. Bortles to Yeldon for the touchdown.
Second down and 10 from the 13 of Kansas City. 19-7. The Chiefs lead it. Shotgun for Bortles. Two left, one right. Bortles drops the throw. Goes to the right side, T.J. Yeldon to the five, cuts inside a defender, into the end zone for the touchdown. T.J. Yeldon caught it, made somebody miss, sliced through two defenders, and Jacksonville is in the end zone again.
19-14 the score. The Jags defense again gets a three and out, gets the ball back for the Jaguars. They have to go for it on fourth down.
It's going to be a shotgun. Yeldon to the left of the quarterback. Bortles drops the throw, looks, fires a crossing route, is knocked away and incomplete. He threw it to a very well-covered Brian Walters. It really wasn't there, and it was knocked away. And the Jaguars are going to turn the ball over on down.
That was how it ended. The Jags fall today 19-14. The second half performance from the Jags defense really was the star of the show today. They forced three and outs, three field goals on short fields, but the Jags offense couldn't hold on to the football, and that's how it happened today at Arrowhead Stadium. We're back with an Everbank Final Stats Check. Plenty to come with Mike Dempsey. Final score 19-14. Chiefs win it. This is Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The average family wastes numerous gallons of water a day waiting for it to heat up.
There's got to be a better way.
And that's not just wasted water, that's wasted time and money down the drain. Thanks to the smart recirculation technology of Rinnai's new Ultra Series tankless water heaters, faster hot water and big savings on water and gas are now just a turn of the knob away.
I knew there was a better way.
Faster hot water and the power to live better are here, only from Rinnai tankless water heaters. To learn more, visit us at rinnai.us. That's rinnai.us.
Kick is up. It's good!
It's time for field goals for Firehouse Subs. You could score a free Firehouse Sub when you register at jaguars.com/firehousesubs. If the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, we'll send you a coupon for a free medium sub with purchase of a sub, chips, and a medium drink. Visit jaguars.com/firehousesubs for complete details. It's field goals for Firehouse. Field goals have never been this tasty. Firehouse Subs.
Hey, Jags fans, Coach Gus Bradley here. Nothing quite matches the excitement of leading our team onto Everbank Field, and now game day could start with you through the Everbank on the Prowl sweepstakes. For each Jags home game, one lucky fan will win tickets, pregame sideline access, and the opportunity to lead our team as they take the field. To enter and for official rules, go to everbank.com/prowl. That's everbank.com/prowl and enter today. No purchase necessary. Everbank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Jaguars return to action Sunday, November 13th in a head-to-head AFC South showdown at Everbank Field. Blake Bortles and company look to take down the division rival Houston Texans. Visit jaguars.com to purchase your seats today. The annual Salute to Service Game will welcome thousands of servicemen and women. Come show your support for these local heroes. Limited tickets remain for as low as $44. Call 904-633-2000 to purchase today. PRI Productions has everything you need to bring your next event to life. If you want people to come together, you want PRI. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, no Fred Taylor today. He'll be back with us next week. The Jags fall in Kansas City 19-14. Chiefs are now 6-2. The Jags are 2-6. It's time now for an Everbank final stats check for this game, and we start off with the team statistics dominated by Jacksonville. What a change from the last couple of weeks for this Jaguars team. First downs, 25-10 in favor of Jacksonville. Third downs told the tale today, too. Jacksonville 5-13 on offense. Kansas City only 1-14 on third down today. The Jaguars got them off the field all day. Total yardage, 449-231 in favor of Jacksonville. Rush yardage, 205 on the ground for the Jags, 62 for Kansas City. And they outpassed them net yardage, 244-169. Penalties, not a huge issue today. 5 for 46 yards for the Jags, 8 for 75 for Kansas City, including 30 yards on back-to-back penalties by Kelsey that get him ejected from the ball game. Time of possession, 21 seconds in favor of Kansas City for the day. And that's about it, except for the turnovers. 4 turnovers for the Jags, none for the Chiefs. The points off the turnovers, that was the difference today.
Boy, you want to know how you lose a game going holding a team to 1-14 on third down?
That's how.
Just watch this game. Yeah. That's how. I mean,
DVR it.
That's how it took. That's what it took. Blake Bortles just over 50% passing today for 252 yards, 22 out of 41 completions and attempts there. 2 touchdowns. He did throw the 1 interception, was sacked twice. Nick Foles on the other side threw 20 of 33 for 187 and a score. Did not turn it over, however. Chris Ivory, we've been talking about it, averaged 5.9 yards per carry, 18 carries for 107 yards. TJ Yeldon chipped in with 7 for 33. Blake Bortles had 54 yards on 6 scrambles today. Charcandrick West, very good job by the Jaguar defense to contain him. 13 carries, averaged 3 yards a pop for right at 39. Travis Kelce led the way through the air, 5 for 58, and then got himself thrown out on the same play with back-to-back unsportsmanlikes, and that really neutered what little Kansas City passing offense they had. Marquise Lee led the way through the air for the Jags, 4 grabs for 84 yards, including that 51-yarder where he just stepped out of bounds at the 3. That's the drive where Ivory ultimately was ruled to have fumbled before crossing the goal line. Allen Robinson, 7 catches for 76 yards and a score, 5 grabs for 32 yards and a touchdown for T.J. Yeldon in this one. Paul Posluszny with 10 total tackles, including 6 solos. And Aaron Colvin, we weren't sure if he was going to play, had 7 tackles of his own, including 5 solos in this game.
So there you have it. The Everbank final stats check today. 19-14 is the final score. We'll come back. The player of the game voting.
Oh,
Tony Smith will be involved today, since Fred is not with
Very
us.
Very exciting for Tony.
That's coming up. We'll have an injury report as well. Final score, 19-14. Chiefs over the Jags. This is Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick with Mike Dempsey. Jags fall today, 19-14. 2-6 record for the Jaguars now. The Chiefs with the win are now 6-2. The Raiders and Broncos play tonight, so there'll be a new team in first place. They're all tied currently at this very moment. 6-2 record. One of those will improve at the end of the evening. It's time now to pick a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game today. Here's how it works. I get a vote. Mike, you get a vote.
Thank you.
Fred usually gets a vote and a half, but today Tony Smith, our producer, will step in and get the vote and a half.
I'll take it.
In place of Fred Taylor. Thank you. So you want to start, Mike? Go ahead.
Yeah, why not? And we'll see then if one of your votes actually matters by the time this comes around. Because honestly, you guys have watched all the Jaguar football this year, right? We've seen the previous 7 games.
Yeah, we've seen them. Yeah.
Have you seen a running back have anything resembling a really good day so far this year? Certainly not a 100-yard performance, despite the fumble at the goal line, which was official.
Was it not?
Well,
it was official.
It goes in the books, but yes. Despite that, Chris Ivory, averaging 5.9 yards a carry. And you finally felt like the Jags had a running game today. You know, they pieced it together to get to 100 yards for the running backs against Indy. Today, it was Ivory easily going over 100 on 18 carries. I say easily. He had 107, but he had the 42-yard run, which was a tone setter. Great job up the left sideline. Lowered his shoulder, ran a guy over, picked up another 10 or 15 yards after that contact. So Chris Ivory, for me, was the easy pick for player of the game.
Well, I'll go ahead and make your vote irrelevant, Tony, because, yeah, Ivory, 18-107, 5.9. You can't argue with any of that stuff. Now, I will say the running at Yeldon, 7 for 33, 4.7 average for him. But at the end of the day, each one of them lost a fumble.
Right, and Yeldon did score the touchdown on a reception, but nevertheless, Tony, we're going to have a clean sweep?
No, I was actually going to go Marquise Lee the whole time.
Okay.
Because he was the only guy that really had made one of those big plays for the Jaguars in this game that didn't have the big mistake on the other side of it, too. Chris Ivory with the fumble. It's not that I didn't think he had a fantastic game, and it was nice to see somebody running in some open field for this Jaguars running game. But Marquise, when this is a team that we've watched kind of curl up in those kind of situations, made that huge play to get them right back in it after that fumble and kept them alive in the football game.
You know, Blake only over 50%, just over 50% with his passes, but he made some really good throws today. He made some poor ones as well, but that throw to Lee was really good. He hit Hearns on the 4th-and-1, and Hearns just dropped it. I mean, inexplicable. It would have been a chip shot field goal at the very worst. Would have been 1st-and-goal inside the 5-yard line. Just missed Allen Robinson on a couple of what would have been big plays. One of them would have gone for a touchdown. A-Rob decided to lay out for the first one. I heard the guys on the broadcast. It's tough, man. You criticize the guy because he doesn't run through the ball. Then the next time he tries to do that, and you're saying, should he have laid out for it? It's tough in real time, I think, to determine. But Blake just missing on a number of big plays in the passing game. So it's a little more encouraging, but the final score is what it is.
You can go a couple of defensive candidates if you really wanted to. Posluszny, 10 tackles today. Colvin had 7 tackles in the secondary today. Telvin Smith had 5. So there you have it. The Jaguars Radio Network Player of the Game by voting is Chris Ivory. His day-to-day, 18 carries, 107 yards, 5.9 average.
Not that it's that surprising because Casey doesn't really have a number one receiver with Macklin hurt, but I don't think Ramsey made the stat sheet today at all. You know, why would Kansas City of all teams challenge Jalen Ramsey? All their guys are pretty much wide receiver twos anyway, so stay away from him.
We're back with the injury report presented by the Baptist Health System. Final score, 19-14. Chiefs over the Jaguars. Jaguars postgame continues on Jaguars Radio. Chiefs 19, Jaguars 14, the final. Jaguars postgame continues. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Jags are coming home next week.
Yes, they are. They're going to play the Houston Texans.
You might have heard of them.
I have.
They
division
are the division
rival.
Leaders, in fact. And we'll get to that game coming up here shortly. But it's time now for the injury report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Allen Hearns, the most notable today. There were a couple of instances for him. He's rolled up from behind blocking for one of his other receivers. I think Allen Robinson rolled up on him and maybe twisted his ankle around, but he came back in the ball game, and not long after that got hurt again. Now, this time a concussion, and was being evaluated for concussion symptoms. So out of the ball game today, Allen Hearns.
Miles Jack also with the hip left the game for a while, but you hope for Hearns. Hearns is so tough, man. This guy, he plays with every manner of injury, and knowing him, I'd be surprised if he's not out there against Houston next week. That's just how he is, as long as he's okay, you know. As far as the ankle goes, you know, if you're in the concussion protocol, you got to do what the league says on that. But if anyone is going to turn around and play next week, it would be Allen Hearns, I would expect.
I would expect that as well. Yeah. He's a tough guy. There's no doubt about that. Linder, before half, went in, but did not miss any time in the ball game today and seemed to be fine there. So
for all we know, Linder might have been going to get an early spot in the bathroom line. You know, really, I mean, it was
2 seconds. They weren't
right.
The
offense
ball back
had just scored. Yeah. Let me run in and take care of business. So let's hope that's all it was.
That's fine. He played, so we're not even going to question it the rest of the way. So Hearns, Jack, we'll keep an eye on them this week. Of course, Jared Odrick was ruled out on Friday, did not play. I don't even think he traveled. I don't know if that's true. I should not say that. But he did not play in the game, was not available today. We'll follow those throughout the week. There's your Baptist Health injury report. Changing healthcare for good.
I just wanted to mention, too, correct myself for saying that I didn't see Jalen Ramsey on the stat sheet. He did have a solo tackle and assist. My point being, that was a compliment to him. The more they stay away from your top cornerback, the fewer stats he has is generally a sign that other teams have seen it on film and they're respecting that guy and not going near him.
We'll come back and preview next week's game. By the way, if you want to follow on Twitter, at NFL Football Ops, OPS, and at Dean Blandino, they said they'll have a video reviewing that play at the goal line a little later. It has not come out, so check it out on Twitter if you want to follow the official league operations department and VP of officiating. Back in a moment. Jags fall 19-14, Jaguars postgame on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final moments of Jaguars postgame. Scoreboard show is coming up next. If you're listening on our flagship station in Jacksonville, 1010 XL or 92.5 FM, you can get your calls in and your thoughts about this ball game today. Mike and I will be here for the next hour or so after this program is over. But the Jaguars are back home next week, and they'll come back home with a 2-6 record and face the division-leading Houston Texans here at Everbank Field. First of two meetings with Houston this year, and the Texans lead the way in the AFC South, and they are off today. So they'll come in fresh off a bye week as well.
That doesn't help. Jags obviously making the road trip today. But, for Jacksonville, this is such a game of what could have been today, JP. I think, if we had seen Chris Ivory's touchdown hold up, I don't think Kansas City is the type of team that's going to come back. From what we saw today, 1-14 on third down. I don't know if they could have, if they needed to. They never needed to drive the field, so we don't know.
Yep.
But how good would it have felt to say, wow, you know what? All right, Bortles wasn't perfect, but he was better than last week. We found a running game. The defense was dominant at times, and we overcame a 4-0 turnover margin or whatever if you hadn't had that turnover at the goal line, maybe a 3. Either way. Instead, what it turns into is just another loss. I mean, it's a better played loss. I don't know how much solace fans are going to take from that. You certainly played better than you did the last few times out against Oakland and Tennessee. There's no question about that. But the end result is what the end result is. You're 2-6.
Beside the turnovers, those are what they are, has the offense found something to hang their hat on?
Well, we'll find out if they can replicate this, right? Because it seems like, now, I don't know if this is Nathaniel Hackett or – maybe Ivory just, is one of those things. He had a day, but it certainly looked like the running game was for real today. And if that's the case, it just going to take a lot of pressure off of Blake Bortles going forward. You may be without Allen Hurns. We don't know. But I think Marquise Lee has played very well this year. He can step in. It's going to change, what you do. Using Lee as a slot guy, if you do that, because you got Robinson and Hurns, they have to respect on the outside. Do you move Lee to the outside? And if you do, is Walters playing in the slot, or do you play maybe some Ben on the outside? However that is, it will, maybe mess with their continuity a little bit. But, there were some positive signs here. It's just I don't know who do you put this on. It's not to me, it's not the coaching staff. That's these guys know they got to hang on to the football. Yep. I mean, Brian Walters is about as the – guy you'd least suspect would lay one on the ground, and he did that today. Both of your running backs. It's not like you can go away from Yeldon and Ivory, to punish them for that. And Blake, obviously, that was not a good throw. It wasn't his worst throw of the day. So he was still shaky, but far better. I mean, if we're just comparing him to his own performance last week, it was maybe not night and day, but a major step in the right direction. So you got to capitalize on that. You got to build on that and continue to perform this way and cut out the darn turnovers.
So, end of the day, Jags are now 2-6, and they'll welcome the Houston Texans next week with a 1:00 kickoff at Everbank Field. We'll go on the air on the network at 12 noon with countdown to kickoff in preparation for a fairly rare Jags home game.
Very,
so far
very beatable
year.
Team, too. I mean, Brock Osweiler on the road has been very shaky this year, and he's been much better at home. Will Fuller, the rookie there, has been much better at home. DeAndre Hopkins is not having the typical type of year. And you feel now, if you got a number one guy, he says it's going to go crazy against his team because of the presence of Jalen Ramsey back there. So, look, they're still a good team. They're the class of the division so far, and they do bring a very solid defense in, even without J.J. Watt now being lost for the season. So it's not going to be easy against the Houston Texans, but the Jags can line up. They play the way they did today, minus the turnovers. They can beat a lot of teams in the National Football League. It's a big if, though, you know, and we'll see if they're able to do that next week. I hope for the fans' sake that they at least appreciated that there is a much more competitive game, much more spirited game, got a much better effort from top to bottom by the Jags. I don't fault the effort. I just fault the execution on hanging on to the football, yeah. And that's all it boiled down to. But it did boil down to that. So, you know, I hope, because we all want that atmosphere. I'm not blaming the fans. The fans could choose to do what they want, come, not come, cheer, boo, whatever the case may be. But I hope they, you know, they got something out of this that they feel like, you know what, all right, we saw some fight in this team. Let's go out and let's give them the benefit of the doubt as they take on Houston next week.
Houston 5-3 entering today. Tennessee 4-4. They're in action right now, and they are trailing the Chargers 16-7 in the second quarter. Indy 3-5. They're also in action. They're leading the Packers 17-10, 9 minutes in the second, and the Jags at 2-6. So that'll do it for our coverage today on Jaguars postgame on the network. Our Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Manager of Radio is Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato are producers. Max Hockman produces Jaguars.com pre- and post-game coverage. For Jeff Lagerman and Mike Dempsey and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Final score, Chiefs 19, Jaguars 14 on the Jaguars Radio Network.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Beard's Jewelry at the St. John's Town Center, where exceptional is affordable. Final score 19-14. Chiefs over the Jaguars today in Week 9. Some other scores today in the National Football League. The Ravens over the Steelers, who looked awful today, 21-14. At one point, I think they had 11 possessions in the game.
Yeah, that 14 came late. Yeah. That was 21-0 for a good bit.
Yeah, 8-3 and outs in at least their first 11 possessions today for the Steelers with Roethlisberger back. Cowboys beat the Browns 35-10. Dolphins over the Jets 27-23. Lions in overtime beat the Vikings 22-16. They had a last-second 58-yard field goal to tie it to go to overtime. Prater did, and they won it in overtime. And the Giants had a big day from Odell Beckham. 28-23, they beat the Eagles. Games in action. Chargers over the Titans 16-7. 5 minutes left in the first half. Just under six to play in the first half in Green Bay. Colts lead the Packers 17-10. Saints over the Niners 28-13. That's inside the two-minute warning of the first half. And at halftime, the Panthers over the Rams 7-0 in L.A.
Yeah, I told you folks Monday on Jaguars Today, I think Minnesota's going to fold and not make the playoffs now. I mean, they cannot score, JP. They're terrible in passing offense, terrible in running offense, and North Turner resigned. Their defense practically needs to score for them on a week-to-week basis, and they allow the game-tying field goal drive with about 30 seconds on the clock. Matt Stafford's done that a few times now in his NFL career. 355-NFL-1 if you'd like to be a part of the Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. 355-6351. We'll start with Darren first up today. Hello, Darren. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I choose to look at the glasses half full, even though we're halfway through the season. We're 2-6. I thought it was a great move to get rid of the offensive coordinator. I think it took some pressure off Blake. I thought we saw that today. That one was a horrible interception, but if you've ever played football and worn a helmet, you know your peripheral vision is not as good as it should be. He should know where all the linebackers are, granted. I've seen 99% of NFL quarterbacks make that bad throw. So overall, I give Blake a B minus today. The turnovers hurt so bad, but you know, I've seen what this team is capable of doing, and that's what as fans we want to see. I could handle going 4-12. Without the turnovers, if we saw that kind of effort and play, not that I'd be happy, because I believe we would be on the verge of a lot of winning a lot of games. And so I'm going to look at it as half full. It hurts to lose another game, and I'll be there. I'll be here, you know, next Sunday in the stands yelling and screaming and cheering our guys on, because I'm not going to quit as long as they don't quit. So,
all right. Hey, Darren, thank you. And they certainly
– I like that attitude.
Yeah, you could feel like they didn't show up. Tracy Wilson at halftime last time out was questioning Gus Bradley whether his team had quit. I mean, flat out. You don't see that in professional football, that that question gets asked, because it's usually not that evident or
doesn't
seemingly
look that
evident.
Bad normally.
That it was clear that wasn't the case today. The one nitpick, and it's just a nitpick, I don't know what Blake's peripheral vision has to do with throwing to a linebacker who's directly in front of him. But, you know, so I don't – it's not like he snuck into the frame. He was right in front of him.
And then again, the one – they ended up scoring
the
touchdown
line,
later.
He threw right to the I forget the guy's number. He hit him right in the chest on that. So, but, again, that – so be it. That included, I think, Darren was – right for the most part. B-minus, maybe a little high for what I agree. I was about a 50% passer today and threw the interception, got away with another one. But that, whatever it was, C-minus, it's a step, a major step in the right direction from a week ago. So Darren liked the call, and hopefully others feel the same way.
I mean, it looked better coming out of his hand.
It absolutely
did.
There
was not all the wobbly one hoppers and all that.
There were none of that. They're right. The one hoppers were not there. But generally, though, I mean, he's still generally inaccurate today. 22 out of 41 passing, you know, had a few drops, but and threw a few away. But, you know, overall, you know, you're still. We've lowered the bar for Blake because he's never been a 60% passer. You know, you really want to strive towards pushing it towards 70 in this league the way things are going right now, and he's still got a ways to go in that department. Darren, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jonathan up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd be a lot better if we had won the game. But first off, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but when Blake was running and he ran out of bounds. Apparently, Kansas City defender shoved him out of bounds pretty hard. I thought that should have been a hard hit out of bounds. Wouldn't you agree?
No. He was in bounds when he hit him.
Yeah, I think that was pretty clean. He wasn't sliding. I don't think he was on the white yet.
I don't think it was even close to being a
now,
penalty.
Now, I will say on that point, we didn't mention yet, but Rick Ballew, I think, reported, if somebody else didn't, that he got stitches in his chin after the game.
Yeah, no, it could have been off that play. I mean, that was he got rocked pretty good, but he popped right back up. At that point in the game, look, you're a big guy. You know,
it's a key situation. He's got to get some yardage.
You make the play out of fall. Yeah. He did it. Yeah. You know, you don't want your quarterback to take hits that big, but he is a big guy. He can handle an occasional one of those. I didn't think it was a dirty, but I didn't think it was even particularly close, unless I'm misremembering. I think he was clearly still in bounds.
We didn't go yell at the TV screen.
There was not even a thought at the time that was late. So, you know, I'm sure he appreciates you looking out for him, though. You know, Jonathan. And
at that point of the game, though, you love that ability, right? I mean,
yes.
If something's not open, then just take off and run and then keep – I mean,
he was pretty decisive, yes. You know, as you were listening to Frank. And, again, we always explain, we sit in here, we watch on a few-second delay on the TV broadcast. We hear the radio broadcast, and Frank would say, you know, Blake's looking nothing there, and he takes off. And it seemed like there were just more decisive moments when he didn't kind of get caught in between today. So it's part of his arsenal. Cam Newton says, I'm not going to stop running. Blake shouldn't either. It's part of his arsenal, and right now you're much less likely to turn it over in that situation as a quarterback. Pick up the positive yardage. You know, better to have third and three than third and 10 because you try to force a ball into heavy coverage.
Good point. We'll take a timeout. More of your calls when we come back. 355-NFL-1. Your reaction to the 19-14 loss for the Jaguars today to the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
19-14, the final. The Chiefs over the Jags. Scoreboard Show rolls along. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Quick injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing healthcare for good. Concussion for Alan Hearns. He was rolled up from behind early in the game and then came back in, but was knocked out later. Miles Jack with a hip injury but was back in the ball game. Rick Ballew reported. That's good news. And we've just learned after the game that Blake Bortles had some stitches in his chin. Apparently, on maybe we're guessing on that long run and then the hit out of bounds.
And whenever it came, I doubt that's going to impact him going forward.
I hope not.
No. 355-NFL-1.
Let's hope he doesn't have a glass jaw, okay?
I don't think he does. I think he is a physically tough guy, let's put it that way. Let's go to Sean next up here on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing, Sean?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for taking our calls.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, I love the Jaguars so much, which is why when the death of the season is upon us like this, it feels like a death in the family. And instead of going through the traditional four stages of grieving, I think I'm going through my Jaguar four stages, which is, of course, off-season denial, which quickly morphs into anger, followed by bargaining to the football gods for a miraculous turnaround. But now that I'm past the denial and the anger and the bargaining, I'm into my last stage of the Jaguar grieving process, which is, of course, talking draft in early November. So what do you guys think about Myles Garrett?
Versus- Not happening on this show, buddy. Thanks. Nice try. Ain't happening on this show. It's a good try, though. What on the side? I thought
I
he was going to go with acceptance.
That's actually funny.
No, it is. It was a good try.
It was well done.
But,
it was well done. I actually wrote them all down because I was making some
right.
good points.
There are like five or seven stages of grief, depending on you've got shock and denial. You've got pain and guilt. You've got anger and bargaining. You've got depression. You've got the upward turn, you have reconstruction and working through, and then you have acceptance and hope.
I didn't see draft in that list.
I did not see draft. That would be hope. Okay. I think that's where hope comes in. But that was a good effort by you, Sean.
We needed a good laugh.
But got to at least be mathematically eliminated on this program from any playoff consideration before I open that door.
Well, not right now, but another couple of weeks, it might not be too far away.
We may not be, but we're not that point yet.
I agree.
That's
I
all
agree
I'm saying.
With you. Yeah.
You know, so
but
it's a good try. Good try. Savannah Jag, you're up next here on the Scoreboard Show. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about that defense. The defense looked really, really good to me. And I don't like when people, you know, act like they're really that bad, because the thing, like Kansas City, they might have had some good plays or whatever, but it didn't supersede all the good that Jacksonville's defense did.
Last week?
Really well.
I would disagree with you. It superseded everything
last
good that
week
they
was
did.
Bad.
They were
this,
terrible last
I'll
week.
I'll give you this week. I'll give you some other weeks this season. Last week, no.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't point to that one as an example of they played better than it looked. They played just as bad as it looked last week. But they were great today. They had their best performance of the season today.
Packers' performance was good.
It was good. But this was, I mean, 231 total yardage. Again, I don't care. It's an NFL team. It's on the road. Yeah. I get it. Backup quarterback and all that stuff. Backup running back.
But to come into quick change situations like they did so many times deep in their own territory
and respond.
And hold the field goal.
Right.
That's
huge. With the one exception, the first time after the Walters turnover, they scored on the second play. Okay. So they gave up one play.
7-0. Okay.
Right. You're going to give up some points. You're not going to. No shutouts pitched in the NFL today. So, when you have a 5-yard scoring drive, that should not be a scoring drive. Those points should not be counted against the defense, honestly. I mean, you give up 5 yards on 3 downs, you've done your job. So they did a terrific job today, Savannah Jag. Let's not try to sugarcoat what happened against Tennessee a week ago.
They gave up 19 points in, what did we say the yardage was total today?
231.
31 total yards.
Right.
And they gave up 19.
And 19 points, and two of those field goals are just because, you know.
Chip shot field goals. I mean,
right.
So
that's where they turned it over.
Yeah.
So.
And that's winning football on the defensive side.
Basically gave up a touchdown and a couple of field goals. And, you know, even then, you know, you had the Bortles interception set up another one. So, you know, turnovers. They stop your momentum and they give the other team scoring opportunities, and that's what it all boiled down to.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, there we go.
Okay, we'll take a timeout. More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. The number. Still time to get in on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
19-14 final, Chiefs over the Jags, though the Jags dominated in the stat sheet today. 25-10 first downs, yardage 449 to 231. On the ground today, 205 to 62 in favor of the Jags. Ivory had over 100 today, 107. Marquise Lee, 84 yards receiving. A-Rob, 7 for 76 and a touchdown. Yeldon had 7 for 33 on the ground, and then another 5 for 32 through the air and a receiving touchdown today. So some things on offense, but 4 costly turnovers. Oh. None taken away on defense. 1 close one. So you lose the turnover battle -4 and lose the game 19-14.
Yeah, there's no hidden reason.
That's it.
At the result of this one,
that's
man.
The reason. I mean,
that's it. That those four plays, those four turnovers, that is it. That's what it boils down to. Still time for your calls here, by the way, on the Scoreboard Show at 355-NFL-1. If you'd like to get on board and talk about the latest outcome for the Jags, 355-6351. Kevin joins us next here. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
All right.
What's up?
I think the offensive coordinator found a new combo because Marquise Lee had a good game and Ivory had a good game. And if I'm not mistaken, when Ivory had his long run, Marquise Lee, I mean, he's not going to pancake someone.
Right.
But he also was fast enough that he could kind of block someone. But the other question I have is the owners need to renegotiate the contracts to get more cameras out there. I mean, gosh, you know, Sunday night football, Thursday night football.
Well, are you talking about? Are you talking about for the Ivory fumble, the goal line one?
Yeah, I mean, there was no view on that.
But they had. That's the problem, though, with the goal line is they had a camera shot right down the line, and that's the one that they did the freeze frame on. That it looked like Ivory was extending the ball, but because you had a Kansas City player's body blocking the view, there's that. That's going to happen. You know, when you're talking about those goal line shots, they had the shot right on the goal line. That's the definitive one you're going to want to have. Yeah. So. Look, it's frustrating. There are sometimes more cameras for the big national primetime games, but in that situation, that's the shot that you want to see, and it just so happened there's a body in the way. I don't know how you get around that there, JP. As far as
I understand that.
Yeah.
But, you know, gosh, put out six cameras.
But where are you going to put it?
My
question would be, Kevin, where would you position a camera that would have a better angle than the one straight down the
that's
goal
right.
line? So
the other side.
There's a whole pile in the way on the other
right.
side.
Right. There's a mass of bodies.
I understand.
Well, but if you understand, then what? I don't know.
I disagree.
You know what point you're.
I see where he's going because the big national games. I think they have like 20 something cameras.
Right.
They have a big, huge, massive budget for
these
games.
Right. And that is why they're not going to do it. You know. I mean, for every one of these calls that you kind of get an obstructed view, like you said, JP, if you'd flipped around and you had a camera come down from the other side, you would have seen less than what you saw. They had the best possible angle on that, and it just wasn't good enough because, you know, it's one of those circumstances.
Yeah, Monday night has like the pylon cams and all
sure.
that, which they didn't have in the games today.
And to the original point though from Kevin, I wouldn't say he's found a new combo because Marquise Lee has been playing well all season long, right? And Marquise Lee is continuing to play an important role in this offense. So I would say he continued to exploit Marquise Lee on these underneath routes, and they finally hit him on a big one over the top. We've been waiting for that. So that was good. They opened up the playbook a little bit for Marquise Lee. And I don't know if it's, you know, I can't say it's just Hackett or it's just Chris Ivory, or maybe the line just did a better job opening up holes today. Part of it was Chris Ivory. That 42-yard run, and I'll be honest with you, I was so marveling at him keeping his feet in bounds and trucking guys on the replay. I wasn't looking necessarily to see who was picking up an extra block yeah, down the field, but you may be right about that, Kevin. And maybe Marquise Lee might have run some interference on that. But overall, Chris Ivory, I thought, and TJ had his moments today too. I thought as a combination, that's kind of what you're looking for. TJ had the receiving touchdown. You see him as more in that role, at least I do for the Jags, more of a change of pace slasher running the ball. So both guys did well today, except for hanging on to the football.
And whoever Marquise blocked should consider themselves lucky because Ivory would have run over them too, most likely, on that long run.
Good chance of that happening.
He might have.
That guy
Tony
was
Smith.
Moving.
The block that we're actually talking about with Marquise Lee was at the line of scrimmage. He actually peeled back to seal the hole for Ivory to get through right at the line. It was a really good block.
All right. Well, I'll give Kevin credit for having good eyes on that one, but let's hope we get more of that out of Chris Ivory.
Sitting here looking at the new season statistics after this game, this is pretty interesting. Allen Robinson, 39 catches this year, 442 yards, 4 touchdowns.
Okay.
Marquise Lee, 34 catches, 442 yards, no touchdowns. Allen Hurns, 31 catches, 443 yards. They're all within a yard of each other.
A yard.
How about that?
That is pretty spooky right there.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a big shift, though, from what we saw certainly last year. Yeah. Now you're halfway through, and Allen Robinson's on pace for 884 yards.
Yeah. So
you've got 500 yards less than last season.
Hearns has two touchdowns. That's it.
Let's get one more quick one in before the break here. Tim is up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, Tim.
Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Sure.
Yeah, man.
I just wanted to piggyback on that last guy about the camera angle. Is there any accuracy to what Solomon Wilcox said during the game, that the replay officials don't have the ability to go frame by frame?
I honestly don't know. I didn't hear him say that because we're not listening. You would think. We see some super slow-mo. I really that's a good question. I don't know if that's the case or not, because it did seem a little bit odd, JP, that – and we're not hearing it. We're listening to the guys describe watching the same replay that they're watching, and you see the hand come out, and it looks like it's on the ball, and it looks like it's extending it over the goal line, clearly over the goal line, but you just – it went from that to all of a sudden they went to live action. You see the ball flying away from the hand. You didn't know if the hand was controlling the ball, but I didn't see the tick, 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 tick of the hand extending to that point. So that's a good point. That's probably what Wilcox was talking about.
And then we'll hear, as we said earlier, Dean Blandino, the senior VP of officiating for the National Football League, tweeted earlier that they will do a short video later today to explain the review in the Jacksonville-Kansas City game. So whenever these games, I believe, are done in that window between the primetime game, you'll likely see a video from at Dean Blandino on Twitter or the NFL Football Ops account. NFL Football Ops is the account.
There you go. Well, I'll be looking for that. I'm sure a lot of Jaguar fans will as well. And no matter what explanation they get, it's probably not going to satisfy. Totally understandable.
Because it was a 19-14 final. Chiefs win it. One more segment of the Scoreboard Show coming up on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final thoughts on the Jaguars Scoreboard Show, 19-14, the final. Chiefs over the Jags, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Other scores right now, Colts over the Packers, 24-10. That's at halftime at Lambeau. The Saints over the 49ers, 31-20. That's early third quarter, and 49ers looked like they fumbled on about the 1 yard line going in just now. Panthers over the Rams 7-0, 5 minutes to play in the third quarter. That's ugly. And the Chargers lead the Titans 19-14. That game is at halftime in San Diego. So unless that has changed, that might have changed actually.
19-14.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. That's right. 19-14. There you go. And that was the final today here.
Excellent.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Next, the Houston Texans are coming to town.
The fresh Texans.
Yeah, off the bye week and in first place. And, they've had quarterback issues. They paid them a lot of money to have this many issues, though. That's the problem right now in Houston.
Right.
If there is such a problem.
I don't fault them for trying to, they felt like they had a team that was ready to compete were it not for the quarterback position. Wasn't a whole lot out there. They determined he was the best option in free agency. And I don't know if I've ever heard of it. I certainly have never heard anyone getting that much money and never meeting with the team that signed them beforehand. I don't know if I've ever heard of a quarterback signing with a team that he didn't meet with beforehand. Maybe back in the day, JP, it was done differently.
Just want to loosen up the old wing
here, right? Hey, let me just pump some stats out there. Let me create a fake stat sheet for JP Shadrick. Maybe we don't need $17 million. We'll take 1.7.
I just can't feel my fingers when I throw, but they don't have to know that.
Doesn't matter. Neither can Osweiler, apparently, sometimes. Hey, look, he struggled on the road. I think if you're a Jags fan, you come out because you haven't had a chance to see a whole lot of football here at EverBank, and you hope just the big picture focus you can't worry about. You got to focus on the 3 hours that you spend at the stadium or longer, however that is, the 60 minutes of football that they play, and just try to beat a team that you don't like very much in the Houston Texans.
As Telvin said, they want to go 10-6.
Sure.
And that's their goal the rest of the way, to win every game they have coming up and go week to week and try to do it. That's all you can do.
If they play like they played today, minus the turnovers, they can win a significant amount of their remaining ball games. Kansas City was a team that we weren't giving them much at all of a chance against. This is a very good football team, and despite the fact they're shorthanded, and that's a factor. Oh, come on, let's look. Alex Smith is a starter for a reason. Everyone wants to say maybe Nick Foles is better. No, he's not. He's not better. And, you know, Spencer Ware wasn't there, and he's been having a terrific year. So, I don't know. The way the Jags played defense against the run today, I don't know if it would have mattered a whole lot. Macklin going down. If they had known before the game, they probably could have dealt with it better, you know, because he's in the game plan, and then he goes out in the first quarter, and that's a sudden change for them. So, it's an adjustment. But that's done now. Now you got to worry about DeAndre Hopkins coming in. You got to worry about the rookie Will Fuller, C.J. Fedorowicz, who's coming on. You got to worry about guys like Whitney Mercilus, who had his way with his Jaguars offensive line last year. Jadeveon Clowney's having a better season this time around. The defense is still solid for the Houston Texans. Lamar Miller's a breakaway threat in the backfield. Hasn't had a big year, but they certainly will continue to give him the football as long as they're in the game. So he's the kind of guy who's got that long speed that all he takes, you know, is one crack and he can go the distance. So you got to be on your game to stay with him the entire 60 minutes.
If you didn't get it on the scoreboard show, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. 641-1010 is the number at 1010X. Oh, hey, when this season when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and medium drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Unfortunately, Myers missed the field goal.
That did not happen.
So that did not happen. The final score today, 19-14. Our thanks to Max Hockman, Linda Fortunato, our entire crew, Tony Smith, Mike Dempsey. I'm JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week when the Jags host the Houston Texans here at Everbank Field. We'll go on the air at 10 o'clock next Sunday with a Publix tailgate show. This has been the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.